Begin the current daf, Masechet Tzibachim, daf Samach Tes. Begin 6 lines down at the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, where the Gemara was discussing regarding the topic of our opening Mishnah of this Perek, continuing the theme of the previous Perek regarding Chatas Ha'if and the laws of Malika that applied to it. So the Mishnah made a division regarding a unique halacha in the birds of Malika, of regarding the karbanis of the Chatas Ha'if. The halacha is that you have to do Malika. Although generally to make a bird kosher, and that it's not considered a nevela, because generally a nevela, a dead carcass of an animal or of a bird that wasn't properly slaughtered, transmits tumma to the person. And by a bird, a kosher bird, is unique that it transmits tumma only into the throat of the person that's swallowing it, not by carrying it or by touching it. However, when malika is done, so that validates it as a carbon, and therefore that's like the equivalent of what slaughtering is for chulin, is the same thing by kachim. However, the Mishnah described, what if, let's say, it's a malika psula, it was not a valid malika? So the Mishnah said it depends. If it's what's called psulim ba'kaidish, if it validates something to the chata sa'if, even though the malika doesn't ultimately validate it, like we said, if you do it with the left hand or at night, because there is some element of validity to it, so then it's not going to have the tumma of nevela, and the one who swallows it is not going to get tummy. However, if it's not psulim ba'kaidish, if it's something that is totally ineligible for the avodas of kaidish, so therefore it's like you didn't even do malika, and therefore no slaughtering, and therefore it's going to be considered having the tumah of nevela. Now there was machlekes Rav and Rabbi Yechanan regarding the zar, the non-kohen. What is his? Does he have any relevancy to avoda, and hence it's going to be considered psulim akaidish, and thus im alu lo yerdu, and those types of halachas that's not going to transmit tumah, or is it going to be metam beis abliyah? So the Gemara had brought a brayse that supported Rabbi Yechanan that said that if a zar does malika, that it's not going to be metam beis abliyah. On that continues the Gemara. Amr Yitzchak. Shemati Shtayim, Yitzchak says, I heard two halachas. Achas kemitza zar, one regarding the fistful of the flower offering of the mincha of the zar. The achas malika zar, one is when the non-kohen does malika, which these are all the same type of procedures. Just like what shchita is by behema, which actually a zar is kosher for in behema of kachim. So too is the kemitza to the fistful of the flower, and so too is the malika to the bird of the bird offering. Now, the zar is not valid to do kemitza, and he's not valid to do malika, although he is valid to do the shchita by behema of kachim. But regarding these two, says Rabbi Yitzchak, I heard achas terid, regarding one of these, the halacha is if it goes on top of the mizbeach, you have to take it down, and that's how invalid it is. V'achas lo terid, and the other one, although it's not valid, but if it goes up on top of the mizbeach, we're not going to take it down. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, b'lei dana, and I don't know regarding which one of them I heard that it says you have to take it down, and which one was it that you don't have to take it down. So Amir Chizke came along to explain. He says, Mistab, it's logical that Kemitza Terid, the one that has to be taken down that has no validity whatsoever, is the fistful of the flower offering, which is like the equivalent of what Malika is to the bird, is what Kemitza is to the fistful. It's the separation of the initial part of the carbon. And that has no validity, even if you put on the top, which sometimes after the fact will be good, no, you have to take it down. But Malika Lay Terid, but if the Malika was done by the Tzar, and then the bird was put on the top, on the mizbeach, to be burnt, you don't have to take it down. So that is the Gemara, Maishna Malika, but why? What's the difference by Malika? And this is the theory that we had said in the previous daf, because the Yeshna Babama, that's like how we explained Rabbi Yechanan, and that's the brayse that supports him, because there is a relevancy of validity for the Tzar, by the Bama, by a private altar, where that was a avodah that was kosher by even firstborns, not Kahanim, including non-Kahanim. So therefore you would say that, okay, there is a relevancy for a zar favoid, and therefore, after the fact, it'll be valid by Malika too. But then, if that's the case, then just like the bird offerings on the bum was valid by a zar, so too the flower offerings, including the kemitza, was also valid then by a zar. Why should that be then the malu yered? And that's just the Gemara v'chitim ein mincha b'mama. And if you're going to say no, because we didn't find the zar have validity by a flower offering by a bama, because there was no flower offerings on the private altars, but if that's the case, then ain't oifers nami babama. Then they didn't have any bird offerings either to say that he has validity by Malika. Because the Amr of Sheshes, he says, Ladivri Amr, to the one who says, and this is in the last parak, Yesh mincha babama, that there were flower offerings in the private altars, then Yesh oifers babama, then there were also bird offerings on the altars. And Ladivri Amr, ain't mincha, the one who says there was no flower offerings, then ain't oifers, and there wasn't any birds. My time, what's the reason? Because Svachim, In the Pasuk, when it talks about by Har Sinai that they had a bama, they didn't have a mizbech in a temple. There was no Mishkan then yet. It says in the Pasuk, V'yalu oilos, v'yizbuchu zvachim shlam, etc., that they brought up karbanis and they slaughtered these karbanis. So it says zvachim, which is the terminology for animal sacrifices, which teaches you, but v'lei menachas, but they didn't have flower offerings, and therefore zvachim, that this, they had animal sacrifices, but v'lei oifers, not a bird offerings. So what's the differentiation between Malika and Kemitza? Elaim Morales says the Gemara, no, you're right. They had flower offerings. However, say that in Kiddush b'kli sharis b'mincha b'bama, what they didn't have was, they didn't have the sanctification of that Kemitza in the service vessel regarding the flower offerings on the bama. And the reason why there was no kli sharis is, as the Gemara says in the last paragraph of Kofites Mabez, it says in the Pasuk, Asher Yeshostu b'hem, that b'kiddush, regarding the service vessel, says that you're going to serve with them in the holy area, which is only in the temple. And therefore, you can't learn out the halacha of a zar regarding that doing the aveda after the fact in a mincha in the Beis HaMikdash from the fact that the zar did the aveda of a mincha by a bama, because since only in the Beis HaMikdash is it sanctified with a kli sharis, I would say that no, for that a zar is not going to be valid for. Oh, what do you mean? Didn't he do the mincha by a bama? Yeah, but there was no kli sharis. And therefore, we have no source to show any relevancy of the zar regarding the mincha. So therefore, by the mincha, the kemitza will be invalid even after the fact. Im Allah yerid. In contrast, by Malika, where they did do that on Obama. So therefore, after the fact, it will be valid, the Malika bazar in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of Mishnah that said, Malak besmoil, oy belayla, chulu, regarding the different cases, if one did the Malika in an invalid way. So it's not a valid Malika, and it's not going to be kosher to eat. Where if it was done with the left hand or at nighttime. However, in spite of that, the Mishnah had said it's considered psulam b'kodesh, because it ultimately was a malika, just had invalidity to it, but therefore it's going to remove its properties of tumma b'veis abliyah. In contrast, regarding the cases that are not psulam b'kodesh, it will transmit tumma b'veis abliyah. So the Gemara brings term on the Braisa that elaborates on these halachas. Yachol te malika shehi lefnim. One would think that a malika that's done inside the temple compound in the Azara, that metama begodim beveis abliyah, that it will transmit tumma to the person's garments when he's swallowing it, when it's in his throat. Now, as Rashi Ksavyad points this out, that the assumption, the havamina, is only like the case of malika psula, an invalid malika, because in regards to a bona fide malika, the pasuk explicitly includes it, as the Gemara brings early on Memdal Mebez and Perek B'Shamai, says l'chol chatasim, which includes every chatas, including the chatas oiv, that it's going to be tahar. It's going to be kosher. It's not going to transmit tumma beis abliyah. What the Brayis is saying is, but you would think that if it was a not valid malika that was done in the azara, that it would transmit tumma to one who swallows it when it's in his throat. Tamalayim in the vela, which this essentially is coming to be the source for the halacha of our mishnah of what we call psulim b'kodesh. That's what the Brayis says. We learn from the pasuk. It says nevela, where it says in the pasuk, v'nefesh hashoteichel nevela utreifa, etc. If someone's going to eat something that was not properly slaughtered or had a moral defect, so the pasuk there talks about that iser. Now, as the Teres Kohanim explains, that the pasuk is talking about the nevela of a kosher bird. So you see from there that it doesn't apply to this case. Which the Gemara asks, what do you see there from here? Hanami nevela hi. What do you mean? How do you see to exclude from this pasuk? Maybe this is also a nevela, because the only thing that gets permitted with malika, because generally to make a bird not nevela, you have to do shechita. Here you're not doing any shechita; you're doing with the thumb, the fingernail of the kohen. It's only if you do it in the proper way as malika, then it removes it from the status of nevela. But you didn't do it the right way; you did it with the left hand, you did it at night, whatever it is. So how are you learning from the pasuk of nevela that it excludes these cases from being nevela? So Ella rather says the Brayis, no, tamalim terefa, that it's from the word terefa over there, which means that it has a moral defect. Now later on in the parak, the Gemara is going to explain that this word terefa is an extra word. So it's coming to teach us a comparative to the halacha of nevela, which teaches us, ma terefa she'ema teres ha'se'isr, just like regarding an animal that has a bird that has a mortal defect. When it becomes a terefa, there's nothing that was forbidden up until now that suddenly becomes permitted, that it becomes a terefa. Or anything, things just got worse. It's a trefa. Afkol, so to everything, meaning regarding comparative to the halacha of nevela, it's also, the problems are only, that regarding the tumas that they have, is only she'ima teres as a iser. It's only if it does not permit anything that was prohibited up until now. Yotze malika she'lefnim, that excludes malika that was done in the azara, even if it was an invalid malika. Why? What did it do that it accomplished, that it permitted? Because it did permit the iser, not the iser of treif, meaning of not kosher, you still can't eat it, it's still not properly slaughtered, because it wasn't even a valid malika, which is valid by kachim. But it permitted that if it was put on top of the mizbech, that it doesn't come down, because as we explained in the previous stuff, it's what's called psulim ba'kodesh. So therefore, ematam begad meves ablia, that's why it does not transmit tumah to the garment and when it's in the throat, because it does not have the halachic status of nevela, because nevela is to be similar to treifa, which is only if nothing got permitted, whereas this nevela did become permitted regarding him ala lo yerid, and therefore it's not going to have the tumah of nevela. Now, continues the brisam, so hevi, this comes to include the following cases. Hamoylik, if someone does malika, which kates, chefet, simon, these are the letters that are from the following cases that the brisa is going to bring. Kachim b'chutz. Someone does malika on kachim, but not in the azor it's supposed to be, but rather outside of the courtyard, which is not a valid malika, but it's still doing malika on the carbon. Or umoylik chulin beim bifnim beim mibachutz. Or let's say someone does malika on chulin, which has no malika at all, whether if you're doing it in the azor, out of the azor. So here, hoil ve'im matir nesa iser, what is the pasuk coming to include when it compares nevela to treva? These cases, since they don't permit anything that was forbidden up until now, because the kachim, that although you did malika, but it was done outside. So metam and begad mabes abliya. So therefore, these are cases that it was not psulim akadish, it was not any malika at all, didn't permit anything, therefore I'm alalai, and it's going to be Allah, if it went up, it's going to come down. So therefore, it's going to transmit tumma to the person and his garments when he has it in his throat. Another brisa. Yochotei shchitas chulin lefnim. Now here it's working. It's saying a similar type of a case. One would think regarding if someone slaughters, not malika anymore, this brisa too much slaughtering of an unconsecrated animal in the azara, or of a kachim regarding sanctified animals, if one does shchita on it, whether in the azara or out of the azara, you would think mitama beisabliya, that it would transmit to the beisabliya because it wasn't something that permitted to be eaten, because one slaughters chulin inside, it invalidates it because you can't do any shchita inside the azara except for kachim. And kachim, at birds, is never valid with shchita. Not inside, not outside. You have to do malika. So you would think, okay, it wasn't a valid malika, so it's a nevela. And therefore it transmits tome beves abliya. Tamalem in nevela, oh, that's the Brisa says, no, you learn from the word nevela, that excludes these cases. So to hear the Brisa ask, as before in the previous Brisa, what do you mean, hanam in nevela? What do you mean, this is also nevela? Maybe this is also going to be problematic and will transmit tumma because it wasn't done with validity. It wasn't a bona fide slaughtering process. Ella rather says the brisa no tamalim et treifa. We learn that from the word treifa, which is here. This brisa says it a little bit different, meaning regarding these cases that we're describing. What do you learn that from treifa? Ma treifa, just like an animal with a mortal defect, shava bifnim kibachutz, doesn't make a difference in the azar, out of the azar, to treifa. It's not going to be valid to be eaten, and it's going to have the tumma no matter where. So to everything, meaning comparative to the laws of Nevela, it's also only things that are going to have the same halacha both in the Azar and outside. Yatza, that excludes Shchitas Chulen Bifnim. So that excludes the case of if one slaughtered unconsecrated bird in the Azar, or V'kadshim, whether you slaughtered in the Azar or out of the Azar, since the halacha is not going to be the same if it was done inside the azar or outside the azar, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain. So therefore, therefore it's not the same as treifa, and therefore it won't have the halachic status of tumas nevela, and it's not going to transmit tumma to the garments when it's in the throat. So the Gemara now asks on this brisa. Bishlem mechulim, we can understand regarding the case of the unconsecrated bird, that lei shava bifnim kibachutz, we understand why it's not the same if you slaughter it inside the azar or outside, because outside, obviously, slaughtering is valid. That's what you do to every bird. If one wants to eat a kosher bird, you just slaughter it on the outside. Whereas in the inside, it's not valid. But it's still not going to get the tumma of nevela because it's only like treifa if there's no difference. Here, there's a difference. And therefore, we cannot give it the tumma of nevela. Elakachim, regarding a sanctified carbon bird, their edvid, their whether it was done inside the azar or outside the azar, psulin inu, they're both going to be invalid by slaughtering because kachim, anyways, nothing can be done ever outside the azar. And even inside the azar, slaughtering is not valid. You have to do malika. So why is there any difference? Why does it not have, in the case you just described regarding kachim, when you do shchit on it, the halacha of tumas nevela? So Amar Ravi explains, first describing one of the cases, which will then create this discrepancy, and then show why both, therefore, are not going to have tumas nevela. Says, if it's effective, the slaughtering of a bird of kachim when you slaughtered it outside of the azara. What do you mean effective? It's not valid. It's effective l'chayve karis to make him liable for karis, as the Gemara says later on, Perek HaShech Lamala, that if someone slaughters a bird outside the azara, he's going to be liable. Now, if one would just stab a bird, that wouldn't make him liable for doing an avodah in the outside. If you're liable karis for doing the avodah outside, that means to say it was an effective, albeit problematic, negative, but it was an effective slaughtering. So you think it's not going to at least be effective to purify it from the vela? It will, because it's not an avela, it was a slaughtering. Now, it's not an appropriate slaughtering. You can actually get karis for it, but it was a slaughtering, so it's not going to make any more nevela. No, so the Gemara asks, so fine, Ashkechan Chut. So we understand why if one slaughters the kachim outside, why it's not going to be considered nevela. But Peniminalan, but how do we know if someone slaughters the kachim inside, which does not permit the prohibition, because you need Malika, how do we know that's not going to transmit Tumah of nevela? That says the Gemara. That's the concept that we just said before. Since now it's not going to be the same when you're slaughtering it inside and outside, because as we said, although that there, if you slaughter a kachim inside or outside, both are not going to be fit to be eaten. But since if you slaughter on the outside, it's not going to transmit tumah, like we said, because on that regard, it is going to be considered a valid slaughtering. So therefore, inside, it's also not going to transmit tumah, because if you're going to say it's going to be mitami, well, how could you say that? But then the outside is not the same as the inside, and we said you have to compare it to trefa, which is going to be the same inside and outside. So that's why, by the case of kachim, both have been slaughtered inside and outside. And that's regarding the case that we had mentioned on the top of this amud from the previous daf, that when we said in the reisha the word kol was lasuya shchitas kachim bifnim, as Taisus had pointed out over there, it's not like all the other cases that it's not going to be metam beves abliya because it's im ala lo yered. Actually, even if this case will be im ala yered, but it's only because we compare it to the shchita that's bachutz, which there we pointed out, as we know from, if it's effective to be chayiv karis, it's going to be effective to tarim de nevela. So comparative, because of the comparison to the halacha of trefa, so to shchit of the kachim bird inside is also nakim tama as nevela beves abliya. Now, but the Gemara asks, ihachi, if that's the case, so fine, we just discussed the cases of slaughtering the kachim bird. But mala kachim machotz nami loy, but if that's the case, then if one does melika on the kachim bird on the outside of the azara, should also not transmit tuma, and that we said it is. Why? Because here also it's not going to be the same the outside, the inside as it's on the outside, because on the inside, obviously malika is totally valid. That's the way that you're doing. But if you do malika on the outside, we said in the previous brisa that if you hamayla kachim b'chutz, then that we said that's not going to be, that's going to be comparative to trefa, since it doesn't permit any issa, just like trefa does not permit, and it's going to be of leah. But why? Regarding this other principle saying regarding trefa, that has to be the same inside as outside. Here it's not the same inside as outside. Because malika inside is totally kosher. Of course not matama as an avela. And the outside, you're saying that it is. But how? It has to be both uniform. So Amar Shima Rashi explains, no. Dan and davar shalei behechsherei. When we compare inside and outside, they have to be the same category. In other words, we judge something that's not valid, meaning the case of slaughtering a kachim bird on the inside, which there seemingly we said it should be nevela. But when it's not valid, there we learn it midavah shalei bechshei. We learn from something else that's also not valid. When you slaughter kachim on the outside, it's also not valid. But we said that it's not going to be metame, because it's no less effective than to be chayv karos on. So therefore we say you cannot have a discrepancy inside from outside. But we ain't done the davah shalei bechshei, but we're not going to judge and learn something that's not valid, which is doing malika on the kachim on the outside. Because I'm telling that it's totally valid. Doing malika of kachim in the inside is exactly how it's supposed to be done. Of course, there's not going to be matama. But you can't learn how to malika on the outside. Oh, so therefore now it's also not going to be matama. Now, in contrast, as Rashi Xaviad points out, that the case of slaughtering chulin in the inside, that we said it's not going to be matama, it's not because we learn that from slaughtering chulin on the outside, because that would be the same principle. But you can't learn how something that's totally from something that's not valid, from something that's totally valid. Rather, it says Rashi, we learn it out from the slaughtering of kachim on the inside. Just like kachim, although there's no element of shchita whatsoever, still, like we said, because we learn that from shchita on the outside, it's not going to be metame, even if it's totally not valid, for sure chulim, which has an element of shchita, at least on the outside, for sure it's also not going to be problematic when you do it on the inside. But therefore, that's the difference between the malika of kachim on the outside, where it will be metame v'esabliya. That is the Gemara of Loi. Is that really so that we do not learn out something that's Shaloi Bechsheri from something that is Bechsheri? But the Tanya Lim, the Braisa, that says, Minayin Lo Yaitse, we said this on the previous stuff, how do we know regarding a carbon that left its perimeter, that's allowed to go its area beyond its distance, that although it invalidates the carbon, but Shem Ola Layerit, if it goes up on top of Mizbeach, we let it be sacrificed, we don't take it down. Where do we know this? Shari Yaitse, Kasha Babama. Because we find already such a precedence by the Halacha Abama, which had no specific area, that if it leaves, which doesn't have an area, that it's going to be Kasher. So therefore, we say the same thing regarding the Mizbeach. Now, you're learning out something, Shaloi Bechsheri, from something that's totally Bechsheri, because Abama doesn't have a perimeter. You just said you can't do that. So the Gemara says, Tana, as we said this answer in the previous stuff regarding a different question, you're right, the Tana wasn't really learning from comparison to Bama. Azayis Teresa Oyla Reba Samachli is really relying on the Pasig that has inclusionary terms of Teiras to say there are certain halachas, which we said already that the definition of what's yes included from Teiras and excluded from Zayis is going to be if it's Psulim HaKadosh or not, which Yaitse is Psulim HaKadosh. When it compares it to the Bama, it was just like Smacht Ba'ama, just an allusion to it, but it really wasn't learning from there because, anyways, we're saying you can't learn it from Bama. Previous Dav said a different Svara because Bama is like Chil regarding Kaidish, but here it's saying because simply because it's Davish Shebech Sheri. You can't learn something Shalai Bech Sheri from Davish Shebech Sheri. Continues to come out with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding doing a Malika, but it, finding out that it wasn't properly done. And the previous Mishnah was talking about because it was done in an invalid way. At nighttime, with the left hand, something else was problematic. Here the Mishnah says, Malik v'nimtzis trefa. Let's say they did Malika on the bird of the carbon, the chatas oiv. Turns out that, okay, you don't see the insides of the bird. Now that you open up the end, well, you see that it has a mortal defect. So Remei Aimi says, Eina metam bevesabli. It's not going to transmit tumo in the throat of the person who's swallowing it. Which one would think to say that maybe they would be, because Malika is like Shechita, and so purifies it, but you can't. You're not permitting it. Nothing permitting was done with this Malika, because it's a trefa. A trefa, it has a moral defect. It's not valid. And that says Remei, as we're going to see on Amid Beis, from a Kavu Chaimer, says that it's not going to transmit Tumah to someone that swallows it. As we continue to Amid Beis, Rabbi Hudaimer says, no, Metami. He says that it will transmit Tumah, because the Malika doesn't help. It's like not even doing a Malika if it's a trefa. Now, the same thing is, the machlekes is regarding slaughtering a bird, not only of kachim, but of chulin, and it turns out that it's a trefa. Same machlekes we have, the Reb Yehuda disagrees, as it's brought in Masechtas Tyrus in the 13th parak, where it's brought that, if let's say, whether it's regarding malika, or whether it's regarding slaughtering, Reb Yehuda says, if you find that there's a trefa, it's going to be tummy, because he didn't do anything, it still never was permitted. Remeir says, actually, all those cases, they're going to be tahar. Contributesi, well, it depends. If it's a trefa that was slaughtered, then it's going to be tahar. If it was a trefa that you did malika on kachim, then it's going to be tami. So that's a three machlekes, and our mission discussed it in the context of kachim, but it's the same machlekes they have regarding chulin too. So Yehuda says, it's going to be tami. What'd you do? You didn't do anything. There's nothing that removed it from its status of impermissibility to make it permissible. So therefore, it's going to have the tuma of nevela. Now, Amr Meir, he says, Kavochem, that's not going to. Why? In nevela's behema, if regarding the non-properly slaughtered element of an animal, shemetama b'maga b'mas, regarding nevela of an animal, it has a severe tuma. If someone touches it or carries it, it transmits tuma. Yet, shchitasim mitaharis trefasim mitamas, so when you slaughter it, although it's a trefa, it has a mortal defect, and so what's the point of slaughtering? You can't eat it anyway. It's not kosher, because it's not because it wasn't slaughtered, but because it's a trefa. Still, the halacha is that the slaughtering purifies it from its tumah, even though it's a trefa. And even this halacha, Rabbi Yeshua agrees to this halacha, as the Gemara learns this out from Chiyamis Mina Behema. So nevela sa'ayiv. Regarding the nevela, the dead animal of the dead bird, which wasn't properly slaughtered. She'ena b'tamba b'maga masa, which does not transmit tumah. It's more lenient. It doesn't transmit tumah for someone who touches it or carries it. It actually only transmits tumah, as we've been saying, for someone who eats it when it's in his throat. Like the pasuk says, "Bikach habeis lo yoichel tamabai." You should not eat it to become tummy, which that's all it says. It's only when he eats it. So in a din shetei shchitasim mitarest treifasim mitumas, it isn't a kavochema that for sure when you slaughter it, that it should purify it, even though it's a treifa from its tumah of nevela. So therefore continues the Mishnah, so since we see that Shechita purifies a trefa by Chulin, like just like you do by the animals, so too for the bird. So then we're going to learn that the Malik of Kachim from a binyan av, from comparison, which is, so Mamet seen the Bishchitas, is it just like we find by the slaughtering of the bird, Shehi Machshar Rasul Achila, so that validates it for eating, meaning what does Shechita normally do? Shechita usually permits the food to be eaten. Umetar is Terefas Mitamas, and also, even when it's a trefa, like we just pointed out from a kavachimer, from the behema, by the bird, by a chulin, when you slaughter it, it permits it, it purifies it from its tumma of nevela, because it was slaughtered. So therefore, af malikasa. So then there would be the equivalent by kachim, when you do malika, which also has the same properties. Shehim achsharasa b'achila is what permits it to be eaten, meaning what shchita is for chulin is what malika is for kachim. So to tar treifasa, midei tamasa, then it should have the same halachic principle that even when it's a treifa, when you do malik on it, they'll purify from its tumma. And if that's the reason for a mayor's opinion that he says that even if you find that it's a treifa, but if you did malik on it, it's not going to transmit tumma based ablia. Third opinion that we have mentioned already, Rabbi Yisrael, he says that actually, since the only way you know this halacha by the bird is because you're learning it out from behema, from the kavuchemer, and that's where we know that even if you find that it's a treif, it can be purified from its tumma. So then you have the halachic principle known as dayai, which means enough, but it means dayai lovim min adin li'is kenidin. It's enough what you're learning out to be limited to the thing that you're learning out from. So says Rabbi Yisi, dayai can nevelas behema. So it's enough if we're going to learn it out from like the dead animal, that shchitasim et harasa. All we find over there is that even when it's a treifa, it's the slaughtering that permits it, that purifies it. V'loi milikasa, but we don't find anything malika by an animal. So the kavuchemer that you're learning it out to bird will limit it to be the context of shchita, and therefore he says somewhere in the middle. He says, I agree that the shchita will be metarit from treifasa, but only by shchita by the bird, and not by malika of the bird, hence it's not going to work by kachem. Now, so therefore, that's the three opinions. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's always going to be Batami, Rabbi Meir always says it's going to be Tahar, and Rabbi Yisi differentiates between Kachem and Chulin. Now, the Gemara asks, for Rabbi Meir loy darish daya, does Rabbi Meir not expound the principle that Rabbi Yisi was saying of daya, that it should be limited only to Shechita, because we're learning it from Behem, which also only by Shechita? How could you extend it to say it even by Malika? So Rabbi Meir doesn't hold to that principle, but Vadaya deiraisahu, but the halacha of daya is a biblical precept. No one's disagreeing with that. The Tanakh learned the Braisa that talks about Yud Gimel Midrash, Atar Nejesh, and the 13 different humanitic principles of how we expound the concepts in the Torah. So the Braisa says, Medin Kavochema Ketzad. Regarding this principle of the halach of Kavochema, where do we see in the Torah that we could expound the laws of the Torah through a Kavochema? Where, if we say it by something that's lenient for sure, a stringency that's going to apply to something more stringent. So that says the Braisa, we know from the Pasuk, in Bamidbar Perikid Beis Pasuk Yedalad, that says, V'yem Hashem HaMoshe. Hashem said to Moshe, regarding the Miriam getting tzaras, because Lashon Hara, they said about Moshe Beinu. So Moshe was pleading to Hashem. So Hashem said to Moshe, V'avia yorek yorek b'fanaho v'goyim, if our father would spit in our face. So the Pasuk continues and says, Haloiti kolam shebes yamim. So she's going to be embarrassed for 7 days. So here for sure, she should at least be secluded for 7 days. Now, if she'd be embarrassed if her father spit in her face 7 days, so all the more so, if the Shechinah is upset at her, because of the Lashon Hara that she said, should be embarrassment for 14 days. Ella, but says the Braisa, what do you see from the Pasig? That Daya love him and Adin, least can eat him, but it's enough what you're learning out to, which is the Shechinah, what you're learning out from the father, because the Pasig teaches you that you're not allowed to go ahead and impose on what you're learning out to more than what you're learning from, because the Pasig concludes and says that Tisagah Shebes Yam, that she's only going to be sequestered for 7 days, and not for 14 days. Because although the Kavuchemin tells us it should really be 14, but you can't do more than what you learn out from. So you see that it's a biblical pasuk in the Torah by Midbar. So how could Rameh disagree and says that we're going to learn it out more than what you're learning out from, not only by Shechita, but even to Malika? So Amar B'Yisib Rebav, and he says, you're right, Rameh agrees to Daya, but Rameh Kro Ashkach B'Darsh, he found a pasuk, which is the primary source of where he says that the halacha will apply, just like a behema, so to a bird, and that in the bird's also going to have it regarding Malika, just like Shechita. Because the Pasuk is in Vayikra. It says, Zayis Teres HaBehema V'Oiv. These are the laws of the animals and the birds. Now, the Gemara asks, V'chi Be'ezet Teira Shav Sabehema L'Oiv V'Oiv L'Behema. Regarding what halacha exactly do you find an equivalency between animals and birds and animals? It's saying, this is the law, as if they have similar laws. But the thing is, they don't. Behema Metama B'Mag B'Masa. Regarding an animal, transmits Tama with touch and caring. A bird does not transmit tumma by touching and carrying. And so doing the opposite direction. A bird transmits tumma when it's in the throat of the person who's swallowing it. But an animal does not transmit tumma when it's in the throat. So they have different halachas. So what's the pasuk equating them? Rather, it's coming to tell you the following teaching. Ma behema, just like an animal. Something that permits it to be eaten, which is shchita, mitar trefasim mitamas, is the same thing that permits it from its, it purifies it from its element of being a trefa that is not going to be considered an avela. So afdaif, so it's comparing the halacha to the birds too. Whatever it is that permits it for eating is going to be mitar trefasim mitamas, is going to permit it from its trefa, from its tumma. Which therefore that's going to include even the malika of kachim, because if it's regarding shchita, well, that we said we know from a kavul chaimer. And that everyone agrees to. It's only meaning between Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Meir. The only thing was regarding learning it out to Malika. That's what the pasuk is comparing it to say that anything, including the Malika, will purify it from its tar. And therefore, he disagrees with Rabbi Yitzchak. Now that we explained Rabbi Meir's opinion, so the Gemara continues that Rabbi Yehuda my tamei. What's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that he says that it's going to be tamei? So says the Gemara, Krash Kach Bedosh. He found the pasuk and he expounded. Because the pasuk says in Mayikra, it says Nevela, and right after that it says Trefa. So Amar Bihudi says, Trefa Lama Nemra. Why exactly does the Torah have to tell you regarding the problem of Nevela, that it's going of Trefa, that it's going to that it's not kosher, that it's going to transmit Tumah? In other words, unless, and this is what's going to be his point, that it's coming to teach you that from the moment it becomes a Trefa that has a mortal defect, it automatically has the halach of Tumah, that it will give to someone who swallows it when it's in his throat, and that even if subsequently it was slaughtered, which is going to prove the point of Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, it's not going to purify it, as he explains. Im trefa chaya, because this is a machlokes elsewhere in Shas, if a trefa, if something was a moral defect, could live for a while or not. If you hold the trefa could live, and therefore, so even though it became a trefa, it's not going to become tummy, and it's only going to become tummy when it dies, sahari nevel amura. So the pasuk already says in this pasuk, the concept of nevela, and when it dies, so it's a nevela, because it already died. So you don't have to say it because of the trefa, it's going to be problematic as nevela. And im trefa ain't a chay, and if something with a moral defect does not live, so then harehi bechlal nevela. So then, the moment it becomes a trefa, it is a nevela, because it's dead. It's a dead thing walking, because it's already going to die, it's not going to live. So it already got tumma that second, so why would we think that the tumma would be removed, that we have to say in the pasuk that, oh, trefa has tumma? Of course. So why does it say trefa? Ella, rather, says the Gemara, lehevi trefa sheshachta. The chiddush that the pasuk wants to tell you by telling you trefa is going to be problematic is to tell you that even if you slaughter the trefa, shematama, that's still going to transmit tumma. So even if you say that a trefa could live, which then you would say, okay, if it could live, so then it's not problematic until it dies. So that's what the pasuk is telling you, that no, it gets to tumma the moment it becomes a trefa. Why? It's still going to live a while. Because it's a trefa. And hence, that's the chiddush that we're saying, when it's slaughtered, it does not purify it, because slaughtering is not like a mikvah, that whatever you put in it purifies it, that it'll take it out from its tumma. It already became tumma when it became a trefa. And that's what you learn from the extra word of trefa in the Torah, and therefore that's the halacha of Yehuda, that if you do malika on the bird, and it turns out, and he holds the same thing regarding chulin and birds too, if you slaughter it and you find out that it's a trefa, so then the pasuk is telling you trefa, that it's still going to be problematic, and the shechita doesn't help. However, Omalei Rav Shizbi asks, and he says, Elamiata. If that's the case, because he's saying, why do you ever have to say the halacha of trefa? Maman of shach, like wherever you look at it, it's not really teaching anything. If it's not going to live, so fine, so then it's nevela. If it is going to live, so there's no problem. It's only going to be a problem when it becomes nevela. So you already know from nevela. That we said, no. That's why it says it, say that, no, even if it would live, it's going to be a problem right when it becomes a trefa. So what does that mean? It means to say that even if you do shchita, it's not going to be tarit. But if that's the case, because generally, really, trefa doesn't teach you anything, and it has to teach you the chiddush, the novelty of that, but when you do the shchita, it's not going to be permitted. So then take the following pasuk. So the pasuk says of a yikra, v'chelev ne'elev, v'chelev nevela, v'chelev trefa. The fats of a dead carcass or of an animal that had a mortal defect, says the pasuk, ye'as l'cha malacha, you could use it for whatever purposes you need, where the pasuk is coming to tell you that the fats of a nevela, unlike a nevela itself, a dead animal transmits tumma, saying the fats of the dead animal does not transmit tumma of nevela, like it says in the pasuk, yes, l'cha malacha, you could use it for whatever you need, meaning even for sanctified purposes, as the Gemara says this in Pesachim and Afchav Gimel and Aleph. That's what the pasuk says. asked the Gemara, asked Rav Shizvi, so hasam nami neima. So there you should also say the same point you're saying. Why does it say treifa? Say chaylev nevela. Why are you talking about the chaylev of a treifa? And that is, as we said, in treifa chaya, if an animal with a moral defect lives, sari nevela mur. So there's nothing wrong with it when it's a treifa then. The only problem when it dies. So we already know it's problematic when it dies because nevela. Im treifa ein chaya, if an animal with a moral defect does not survive, does not live, sari bechlal nevela. That means right now, it's already including the category when it becomes a treifa as nevela. So why say treifa? You already know this all from the halacha of nevela. Ella, rather, you would have to say, based on what you were just expounding before, oh, lehevi treifa shashachta. That's coming to include, if you have an animal with a mortal defect that was slaughtered, that's what the pasuk is saying, oh, vir shechel betar, that's where the fats are going to be tar. Because that's what it's saying, because why else would you say treifa? If it's coming to permit it, must be it's only permitting it if it was slaughtered. Machlal dihimetama. But the inference would be then, is that, but the animal itself would transmit tumah by being a treifa. On that is the Gemara, but v'amr b'yehudim a'rav, v'amr l'an some say b'mas nida tamas torah n'abraisa. There's a pasuk in Vayikra, perikut alef pasuk lamates, that says v'chiyamas mina behema, that if it's going to die from an animal, so the pasuk there continues, says, which is yours for eating, now that it just died, it became a nevela, so it says hanegeib and avlas, if someone touches the dead animal carcass, yidma the arav will have the tumah of nevela and it will be tumah until the evening. But it says the word min ha-behema, from, which is like an exclusionary term from the halacha of nevela. So on that, the Braisa says, mixes behema metama. Some animals transmit tama, well, mixes behema ena metama, some do not. The ezazu, which one would not? Zu treifa shashachta. This is an animal with a moral defect that was slaughtered, where the treifa does not transmit tama. So then you can't explain the pasuk the way you were saying. You're always saying that the word treifa is unnecessary. So saying when we're talking about the chaylev of treifa, that we're permitting it, why mention treifa? It's all included in the vela. So he said, there must be, it's coming to say that, yeah, because what type of chaylev are we permitting? It's the chaylev of a treifa that was slaughtered. That's where the fats are permitted. But the animal itself is going to be tummy. And that's the chiddush that we're teaching, even though it was slaughtered. Problem is, the Braisa clearly contradicts it and says, if you slaughtered the treifa, that it's not going to transmit tummy. So Ella concludes the Gemara's question. Rav Shizbi continues and he says, so rather, when it says in the pasuk v'chelav treifa, must be mebayle lemuute tmeya. Rather, must be that's teaching us a different halacha, that it's excluding a non-kosher animal. Where there, if it's a nevela of a treifa, that its fats are not going to be tar. Rather, it's going to be tummy, just like its meat. Because we expound, it says v'chelav treifa. What does that teach us? Mishiyesh b'mina treifa. We're talking about a type of animal, a type of species, that its species has halacha of treifa, which means, say, normally it's kosher, but if it has a moral defect, then it's not going to be. Yatsa zazu, that excludes a non-kosher animal. She'in b'mina treifa. There's no halacha of treifa, of moral defect, for a non-kosher animal. You anyways can never eat it. And that's what we would be learning out from the extra word, unnecessary word of treifa. So if Shizbi concludes this question, so then hachinami, so then here also, when we say, v'hanefesh ashatechel nevelo treifa, you should need it, also l'ma'ute oif tameh, to exclude a non-kosher bird. In other words, we would explain the pasuk when it says nevela and treifa, we would say, from a type of species that has treifa, which is a kosher bird, its nevela is going to transmit tuma to the garments when it's in the throat, which excludes a non-kosher bird. She'im b'mina treifa, where it doesn't have in its species a halacha of treifa. So therefore, if that's what we would use with the extra word treifa, so we're back to the question that we just need to know to include a treifa that was slaughtered, that it's going to be tamei, because we said, what do you need treifa for? When you're saying the laws of it's going to transmit tumah, you already know it's a nevela. Must be the unnecessary word treifa is coming to teach this halacha, but we're saying it's not unnecessary, because just like we said, the exposition we said for Rabbi Yehuda is not going to work in this pasuk of chaylev treifa, rather it'd be excluding a type that doesn't have treifa, which is a non-kosher species. So then maybe we're going to say the same thing over here. Maybe the laws of transmitting tumah of nevela is only going to be something that has its minoy is treifa, but something that doesn't have its mina of treifa. So regarding that, that's being excluded. That's not going to transmit tumah, but beis ablia. And that says the Gemara, no. Oif tamei l'Rebbe Yehuda, meaning because that was the question, now we don't have an extra word. So the Gemara is saying, no, we still have that extra word treifa to teach Rebbe Yehuda's halacha. Because oif tamei l'Rebbe Yehuda, that you wanted to say we should learn that from that word treifa,
Minevela nafkale. He learns it out from the halacha of nevela that it's not going to transmit tumi beveis ablia. He's correct. He agrees to the halacha that ba'if tumi is excluded. There it's not going to transmit tumi beveis ablia. It's only ba'if tahar. But he learns it out from a different, from the fact that the pasuk had to write letamava near the warning of nevela lo yoichel, because this word letamava is seemingly unnecessary because it already says another pasuk v'nefesh hashotech nevela treva yichabes begadav. So we know he's going to become tumi. So why does it say letamava? So that's coming to teach you to exclude something that is already tame, the oif tame, the time like learned the brisa. Behudami, he says yachal tehe nevela seif tame. So you would think so too the dead corpse of a non kosher bird mitame begadma beis abliyah, just like we find by a kosher bird, which for sure that's more tar, that's something that's more pure. That if it wasn't slaughtered, then if someone eats it, it's going to transmit tumah to him when it's in his throat and also to his garments. So you would think this would be a non kosher animal when it just died. If someone eats it, it would transmit tumah to him when it's in his throat. Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk teaches. Nevela utrefa layechel. It says, dead animal, an animal with a defect, mortal defect, layechel should not be eaten. What that teaches is, misha isuri mishum bal teichel nevela, only something that its prohibition is because you shouldn't eat it as nevela. Yotzezeh, that excludes the non-kosher species. She'en isuri mishum bal teichel nevela. That's not the problem why you can't eat it because you can't eat a nevela. Because you can't eat it because it's tameh, because it's non-kosher. And therefore, that's how he knows that the halacha of being metameh beis abli is not going to apply to oif tameh. And therefore, you're not going to learn that out from the word of trefa that only has b'mine trefa, albeit that you have to use it, that you have to interpret it that way by the halacha of chelev trefa, because we said you can't learn it for the way of shechita, as we had said for Yehuda's teaching. So therefore, since he has a different source for Eif Tameh, he still has that extra word Trefa to teach his halacha, that even if he did Shechita on the Trefa, it's still going to be transmitting Tumah of Nevela after you find that it's a Trefa. The Gemara continues asking, it's a continuing type of Ayin and Aleph, but Hainami, then if that's the case, then we're going to go back. We're going to be cyclical. We're going to go back to the previous Pasuk of Shizbi asked from the Chelev of a non-kosher animal. Typically, so then I should know that it will be transmitting tumah mivechelev nevela from chelev nevela. Meaning, we said that, oh, why is it vechelev trefa? Said, okay, must be including the must be told about that it's only something that it has beminoi that has trefa. But that would exclude the chelev of a tameya. That the question is, based on how we just answered now, we should say the same thing in that pasuk. Because why would I think to purify the chelev of a non-kosher animal from the pasuk of ya'as l'cha malacha, that you could use the fats for whatever you want to, but that is not talking about by a non-kosher species, because when it's saying don't eat it, it was talking about because of its element of being the chelev of a nevela. As the Gemara explains, mishi sur mishum bal teichel chelev nevela, only something that the reason why you can't eat it is because it's the fats of a nevela, but the rest of it is meat that's permitted to eat. That's where I said that the chelev is going to be tahar yatzazu she'ein yisur mishum bal teichel chelev nevela. This case, when it's the chelev of a non-kosher animal, the reason why you can't eat it is not because you can't eat the fats of nevela, el mishum tameh, rather because it's non-kosher. And then we're back to the question, so then how do we expound the word chelev treifa over here, just like you're saying that from the extra word chelev treifa, that the trefa by when it talks about the tumah of nevela and trefa, you're saying trefa is not necessary. So Behuda builds a whole halacha based on that. The extra word must be telling you that even though you do shechit on it, it's still going to be tameh, it's still going to have the tumah of nevela. So then what do we do then with v'chelev trefa? Originally we thought to say, okay, we can't make a Behuda's exposition. We'll say it's coming to talk about the halacha of to exclude the chelev of a non-kosher animal. That there it's not going to be permitted for all your utilities. And then actually we had a question back on your Behuda, then say the same thing for the pasuk of Nevela and Trefa regarding the Tumah, that there it's also excluding a non-kosher bird. And that the Gemara answered, no, non-kosher bird, he has a different source. So he still has the extra word Trefa. Then says the Gemara, the way you answered over there makes it back difficult again than the pasuk of V'chelev Trefa. Because what are you saying? V'chelev Trefa is going to exclude the fats of a non-kosher animal. I already know without saying the chelev treva that it's being excluded. Because chelev nevela tells me only something that cannot be eaten because it's nevela or because it's chelev, which are two different understandings in the Gemara. So that's something that's going to have the permissibility of using it. But something that's not forbidden because of that, but rather because it's non-kosher, that's why he can't eat it. So that's already excluded. What do you need? Chelev treifa. We're back to the question. If you're expounding every superfluous seeming, every time you mention treifa is superfluous because you know it from the vela, then what do you do with this pasuk of the chelev treifa? That's what the Gemara continues different interpretations on the next daf.